In the winter garden, we behold snowflakes have fallen and winds blow cold. Oh, where do you come from, you little flakes of snow, falling softly, falling softly to the earth below. On the trees and the bushes, on the mountains afar, little snowflakes, do you come from where the angels are?
That's a wintry lullaby.
It is.
Courtesy of Holly Richardson. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Luke.
That is, what did you call that? A kinder lyre.
Kinder lyre. It's one of my favorite little instruments.
I could see why. Maybe you describe it for our listeners.
Sure. So if you're looking at a kinder lyre, it can fit right in your lap. And there's sort of a wooden, there's a wooden frame. And then there's a bridge on one end and some pegs on the other. And then there's seven strings. So you just can play seven little notes. And when it's tuned properly, it's similar to the black keys on a piano. And so it always sounds beautiful. You can't make a bad sound. So that's one reason why I love it.
Yeah. Well, I pictured cherubs and nymphs cavorting in a meadow. That's kind of what it evoked for me.
Yeah, it's an instrument that's designed to support children in their development. So exactly where children are, which is in a very open state of consciousness, you know, they haven't been on earth very long. And so we support them by bringing really gentle music that actually has no grounding tone. It floats. It's designed to float the music.
A grounding tone.
Yeah.
Explain that. What
does that mean? Like, for example, we take one of our favorite songs, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, which you could play on a guitar, an ukulele, or just sing with your voice. And if I sing it, it goes like this. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where you are. R is our ground.
And
for musicians, okay, you know that's our home key or our tonic, which would be like a major key in Western music.
And children know that intuitively. Is that what I'm hearing you
say?
Well,
we all can feel when we've arrived home in song.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So that's sort of the home base of the song. How I wonder where you are. So that uses a variety of tones, many more than you would find on the kinder lyre. So you take a different song, like the one I just sang, in the winter garden, we behold snowflakes are falling and winds blow cold. You're kind of left hovering, right? You don't land like you do in Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so anyway, that's purposeful. That's intentional, so that you support the children right where they are, which is, yes, they're on Earth, but they're not fully developed. They've just arrived. And so you're meeting them right where they are.
Is that the prevailing ethic in these sessions that you do with mothers and children?
Well, so when I work with mothers and children, it's almost like I'm teaching two classes simultaneously, or there's two sort of simultaneous intentions. One is to support the children where they are, and then the other is to support the mothers where they are. And so when I'm working with parents and children, in what I call the foundations programs for the Waldorf School, I'm always doing both. So I'm bringing elements that are going to be nourishing for the children and elements that are going to be nourishing for the parents. And sometimes they're one and the same, and sometimes they're very distinct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so in these sessions, you're doing a service to the child as well as the mother. And it sounds to me like a lot of it is focused on the mother.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. So in the Sweet Peas program that I run in Carbondale on Wednesday mornings, mothers bring their babies. And mothers are typically tired and have a lot of questions. Am I doing this right? When am I going to sleep next? What's the best thing to do for my child? And really the best thing to do for the child is what's best for the mother at that point. Within certain boundaries. So good sleep, good food, nurturing activities that support the mother and make the mother's heart happy and strong are going to ultimately nurture the child. Hmm. You know, all within, you know, reason. Hmm. So, you know, if you want to rock out on a Saturday night late, you know, well, that's a little bit different. You know, you would do that without the child, obviously, but then you would pay for it the next day.
Holly, I need help.
Yes, yes. So that's a little bit about what I do.
Okay. You mentioned Sweet Pea Wednesdays. Talk a little bit about Sweet Pea Wednesdays. I think you said something about anointing the mother's feet.
Well, I didn't use the word anointing, but you could use that word. So it's a little bit of a special treat that I like to give mothers. And it happens in the second half of the morning where we've had a really wonderful lunch that I've made the mothers. And then I ask the mothers to just sort of quiet themselves and enjoy the foot bath that I give them. So I give them a lavender foot bath right there in my kitchen.
Wow.
And I hum a sweet little song while I do that, just to create a mood of sort of reverence and quiet. And then I rub their feet with oil afterwards. And, you know, I'm just trying to bless them, really, with an act of love.
Well, it sounds like the whole session is blessing with an act of love. You're talking about lovely music, organic lunch, a foot bath.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. You know, I didn't have anything like this when I was a young mother. I chose to stay at home, and I felt very isolated. And though I had the support of my extended family, my mother would often help me with my children, it was just a really challenging time. And so I think my work now is inspired by, to say it quite bluntly, the suffering that I experienced as a young, isolated mother, and wanting mothers and all parents, for that matter, to feel like there's a place that they can connect. There's a place where they're going to get taken care of a little bit, and it's going to be good for their kids too.
What about fathers?
Absolutely. So once I had an uncle come to Sweet Peas, but it's typically the mothers that come to Sweet Peas. Now, I run other programs. One of them, I just talked to a father today who said, well, we like to come to Magical Mondays. So that's a music program I do at the school for parents and tots and babes. And caregivers, for that matter, on Monday mornings. And that's a drop-in session, a drop-in type of class where anybody can come at any time. Sweet Peas is a bit more, I need to know you're coming because I need to have everything ready for you. But regardless, whatever class you come to, or whatever offering you come to that I'm offering for the Waldorf School, there are always elements of self-care, so that the parents are reminded of the importance of taking care of themselves. And in doing so, then we can joyfully do the work that is in front of us, whether it's working at the radio station, whether it's changing a diaper, whatever it is. So in taking care of ourselves, it's actually in service of taking care of others.
I know it's pretty easy to lose sight that you need to take care of yourself because you're so focused on the baby.
Yeah.
And so it helps to have another person come in and say, hey, I want to take care of you, because if I take care of you, you're going to take care of your baby. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, and I also work with parents on ways, things, tools that they can take home with them, practices that they can begin with me in my presence where I'm guiding them, and then they can take it home, and I write things down for them, and they can practice it at home, and then we come together in the next week and we check in. How did it go? You know, did you get enough sleep? Did you do something for yourself? Did you go on a date with your husband or, you know, your partner? Did you have 5 minutes of quiet? You know, did you say no when somebody asked you to do something that was going to just push you a little over the edge? Did you just say no?
You know, one of the things you often hear, I heard it when I was a young father, is, you know, there is no instruction manual.
Right.
There isn't. I mean, there are million self-help books, but there's no instruction manual.
Right.
The baby didn't come with one. You have to learn. And so it sounds like it helps a lot to have someone like you come along and say, hey, try this or try that.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. When I began creating these programs a number of years ago, the first Sweet Peas class I ever taught, I thought, well, what would be the most helpful thing to bring to a parent? Like, what might they read that would help them? And I found myself sitting down and I took just a blank piece of white paper and I wrote three words, and I wrote the words, I am enough. And I handed it to them, and I handed it to each of them, and they looked a little surprised. And what I found and what I continue to find is that that's a really radical idea. And I don't know if it's specifically for women or for mothers. That's my experience, because those are the shoes I walk in every day. But to really remind people, not just parents, people, that no matter what, no matter the challenges, no matter our imperfections, that we are absolutely enough. And yes, we can gather tools from others. Yes, we can be reminded. But deep down, we have a deep, deep well of wisdom. And so I really work with parents to tap into that as well. And the really cool thing about it is I'm doing all this work that sounds a little bit self-helpy. And that's fine, because I think we all need a lot of help. I get to do that work for myself, too. And so it's a win-win, because I can't tell people to do things that I'm not doing and practicing myself. So it's such a gift for me to be able to work in this way with people.
So Sweet Pea Wednesdays, obviously on Wednesday, I see the winter session has already begun. Is it too late to join the winter session? Or?
No, not at all. In fact, what I've sort of, the ideal is that a parent would have the resources and the wherewithal to be able to come to multiple sessions. And I've had parents that have spent a whole school year with me, sort of in that sort of loving lap, right, of what I'm trying to bring. But then I've come to the conclusion that some is better than none. And so if parents want to come once and just see what this is like, or if they want to buy a punch pass and come a few times, spread out over the course of months, that's fine too. I think parents get the most. We get the most out of anything when we can be consistent about it. But life is life, and that's the ideal. And so, again, some is better than none.
And the Sweet Pea Wednesdays are meant for the youngest of the young kids.
Yeah.
But you also do Saturday Peas and Carrots.
Yes.
And tell me a little about that.
Yeah, so that's a program that actually happens at the Waldorf School on the Roaring Fork in one of our kindergarten classrooms. And so I carry a lot of the same themes in terms of nurturing and self-care. But what I'm also doing is giving parents and children an experience of some of the tools and things we use in our kindergarten classrooms that are in support of the children's highest development, really, and the parents for that matter, too. So puppet plays and homemade snacks and songs, all things that are designed to create the most soothing and rich sensory experience for both the parent and the child. And what brain research shows is that that's the first part of the brain that develops. And then all the higher learning that happens on top of the primary learning is built on this foundation. And so we really work to bring the most rich and soothing and nurturing sensory experiences, both for the children and the parent. Mm. And what I find is that parents walk into the classroom And they just like breathe out. They're like, oh, I'm so glad we're finally here. And oh, that song was so beautiful. And oh, this silk. Oh, that silk. That feels so good on my hand when we play with the children with the silk scarves. So those are just some of the sensory experiences that people can expect. Or the smell of bread baking in the oven. Or, yeah, there's so many things that we can do to nurture our senses. And I think also we live in a time where many of us, children and adults, we're sort of fried. We're like our senses are fried. We're overwhelmed. We're tired. We might have had to spend hours on a computer or hours in a commute. Or maybe the music was just too loud, or the lights were so bright. You know, for young children and for parents, for adults too, we're really incredibly sensitive beings, you know. And so at the Waldorf School, we really work to both protect and nurture and prepare ourselves so that we can meet the world in a healthy way when it's time.
Boy, that sounds really good. And
you should come and visit.
I know. And I was just going to say, I'm an old fart, but it sounds pretty good to me.
Well, Luke, I'll tell you, old farts can come if they bring a little, like a cute little fart with them.
Do oh, really?
A cute little fart okay. You could bring.
Well, how does one arrange to do that? How do people reach you?
Yeah. So, you know, you can Google the Waldorf School and the Roaring Fork. Our website will pop up with contact information. My email is holly@waldorfcarbondale.org. Our school phone number is 970-963-0140. So there's a variety of ways you can contact us. Likewise, I'm out and about quite a bit. I visit libraries, bringing my sort of musical, magical story time. And so if people see me out and about, they can always ask me, you know, tell me more about that.
Yeah. Well, Holly Richardson, thank you so much for joining us.
Luke, thank you for your time. And I love that there's this program where people from the community can just come in and share what's important to them. And, you know, all in service of supporting the community. So
hear, hear.
Yeah, thank you.